Lovely. I've never sung that hymn before. Didn't even know it. But lovely words, weren't they? So let's just pray for a moment, thinking of those words as we pray. You are my God. You are my Saviour. You are the rock on which I stand. You are my God. You are my Saviour. Eternal One, the great I Am. Lord, we come to you this evening, thanking you that you are our rock on which we do stand. We live in troubling times, turbulent times, times when many people's hearts are fainting with fear as they look at what's happening around them. We thank you, Lord, that despite circumstances, you are our rock. We can say with the psalmist, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And Lord, we can testify to that. We pray as we come together to worship you tonight, you'll help us to have confidence in you. Remember that your word promises that all things work together for good to those who love you. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll help us as we face a new week with all its challenges to be able to face it in your strength. In the strength of Jesus, your Son, who died for us and rose from the dead and won that resounding victory that will stand for all time and for eternity. So, Lord, be with us now as we meet together in fellowship and worship. Even although circumstances are restricted, Lord, we'd like to sing your praise. Lord, we cannot do that, but nonetheless, we pray that our praise will go up to you from our hearts tonight. So, Lord, be with us in our time together. We bring you our praise and prayers now. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus chapter 16, 2 to 26.
And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the pestilence, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even then ye shall know that the Lord has brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather it, every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade. And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none.
Thank you, Rosemary. Before we have our other reading, I thought we could read together 544. 544. We'll read the chorus right at the end, okay? We pray God will open our eyes, illumine us as we hear his words. Can we hear our gospel reading now, please, from John's Gospel? Chapter 6, two parts, 5 to 13 and 30 to 51.
So they asked him, What miraculous sign will you give that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, it is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise him up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. At this the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come down unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will take him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, They will all be brought by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, and they died. But here is a bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and may not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread? His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, for what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them which had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of truth, that prophet which should come into the world.
Lord, we come to you in our prayers, thinking of the many various needs in our world, thinking of all those who have been affected by the coronavirus in many countries, those who are at present trying to develop a vaccine, those who are caring for the sick in hospitals and care homes, those who are suffering at home. We think of those who have lost loved ones to this virus, praying your comfort on them. We pray, Lord, for those in authority, governments, as they seek to come to grips with this problem. Give them wisdom, Lord, as to the steps they should take in the future, that there might not be another outbreak of this terrible disease. So, Lord, have mercy, we pray. We don't deserve your mercy, Lord, as a nation, but we pray nonetheless in your mercy, Lord, you will come to us and pour out your Spirit. And we thank you that during this time of lockdown, many, many people have been hearing your word over the internet, radio and television. People who never go to church have been prompted to listen in and to hear your word. And we thank you, Lord, your word doesn't return to you empty. So we do pray, Lord, that you will speak to those many people, thousands of people who have heard your word over the internet and the airwaves. Praying, Lord, that you will cause many of them to repent and turn to you. And that it will please you, Lord, to send a revival to our nation. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Cause people to seek your face, to call on your name, and to find salvation through Jesus, your Son. Lord, bless your people in this area. We thank you that friends here have been able to resume worship again. We pray you will guide other churches as they seek to resume meeting together. We know it's difficult for large churches, but we pray, Lord, nonetheless, ways will be found very soon. We may be able to worship you normally and sing your praise and meet together in fellowship in the way we love to do. In the meantime, Lord, keep us safe, keep us faithful, keep us trusting in you and in your love for us. Lord, we think of many people in other parts of the world who don't have the facilities that we have in this country, healthcare and so on. People in refugee camps, people in countries like Yemen, torn apart by conflict. Lord, there are so many we could bring to you, praying that you will minister to them. And for the persecuted church, Lord, our brothers and sisters who don't enjoy the freedoms we enjoy, who are harassed, who are imprisoned, often killed for their faith in you. Lord, have mercy on them. May they know you're with them, Lord. May they know that we and others throughout the world are praying for them. They're not alone. So we pray, Lord, you will be near to them. We think of any, Lord, known to us who need you especially today. Those who are ill, those who are struggling with mental or physical problems, maybe depressed and anxious and worried, facing particular decisions they have to make. Lord, we pray you'll be with them. Help them to look to you to find your strength, your healing and your comfort. Lord, we thank you we can bring our prayers to you and knowing you hear us. Hear us now, we pray, as we bring them to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Amen. I think someone's got some music they're going to play to us. Is that right? I did send a couple of songs over which were appropriate to our... Last time was Eddington I preached, so it's a... hope I've lost practice, but it's good to be back in the pulpit again. And in all my life since I was 17, I've never been so long not preaching before. But I want us to have a look at those readings we read, and particularly the text from John 6, verse 51, where Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." I suppose this miracle is perhaps the most well-known of all the miracles of Jesus, feeding the 5,000. Amazing, wasn't it? We're perhaps so used to hearing it that we just don't perhaps grasp how amazing it was. 5,000 people fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Wonderful miracle. Now, all 4 Gospels record this, but only John takes it further and brings forth the sequel to what happened. He sees more in this than just the feeding of the 5,000 people. He sees much more. Amazing as it was, he sees a much deeper meaning, and he goes on to record what happened with Jesus talking to the crowd. And Jesus' words about the living bread don't appear in the other Gospels, but John brings this in, the living bread. It seems to me the Jews were determined to find reasons to reject the claims of Jesus. They saw what he did, they heard what he said, but they seemed determined to find excuses for not believing who he was. John describes all the miracles of Jesus, in fact, as signs. You notice that in his Gospels. In his Gospel, he talks about this for the first sign, the second sign, and so on. And the Greek word there can also mean signal. So what he's saying is these miracles are pointing to Jesus was a signal of who he really was. And the Jewish people were not reading the signals, they weren't reading the signs, they weren't understanding what was going on. In verses 30 and 31 there, they said to him, "What miraculous sign then will you give us that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Seems strange to me, and they've just seen a huge miracle. They're saying, "Give us a sign." They've just seen 5,000 people fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They're saying, "Show us something to prove who you are." What more did they want? How strange. You know, when people are determined not to believe, it seems whatever evidence you show them, they just will not believe. People's hearts are hardened. No evidence will convince them, will it? "We want evidence," they said. "Show us the evidence." And they'd seen the evidence, but they wouldn't believe. They challenged him to show them a sign. When the day before they'd seen that miraculous sign of the feeding of the 5,000 people. They referred back to the manna in the desert. That time when the Israelites were famished, they were there in the wilderness and they were panicking really, weren't they? "We've got nothing to eat, Moses. Why have you brought us here?" Oh, they said, back in Egypt we had so much to eat. We had pots of meat. We were so well off there. Forgetting completely they were slaves in Egypt and being treated so terribly. They had rather selective memories, didn't they? In fact, they didn't remember at all what happened, did they? They thought they were well off there, being beaten and treated by slave drivers. They wanted to go back. They wanted Moses to do something about it. And, you know, it's sad, isn't it, really? They'd seen God roll back the Red Sea waters and take them through on dry land. They'd seen the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, and yet they couldn't believe that God would complete what he'd begun and take them to the promised land he'd promised to do. They couldn't believe God would finish what he'd begun. So they started to murmur and complain. And as Moses said to them, you're not grumbling to us, you're grumbling to God. You're complaining to him. That's who you're really complaining to. We go back to Exodus 16 for a moment. And verses 2 and 3. Why didn't God let us die in comfort in Egypt, where we had lamb stew, this is the Message version, and all the bread we could eat? You brought us into this wilderness to starve us to death, the whole company of Israel. And God said to Moses, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven. I'm going to test them to see if they live according to what my teaching is. They had the quail, of course, didn't they? Now, the quail was a one-off. They'd asked for meat. Just once the quail came. But the bread, the manna, was an ongoing thing. There's no natural explanation for the manna, none whatever. If you read what happened carefully, 6 days of the week, they had enough for each day. Except the sixth day, enough for the seventh day. And none on the seventh day. So what happened was, if they kept it an extra day on the other 5 days, it went bad. It was no good the next day. But on the sixth day, it would keep to the seventh day. So they didn't have to go out on the Sabbath. So if you think about that, there's two miracles every week, isn't there? Multiplying that by 40 years, I take that as over 4,000 miracles in the 40 years going through the wilderness. Over 4,000 miracles they saw, two a week. On the one hand, having enough on the sixth day for the seventh day, but on the seventh day, none, and on other days it would go bad if it kept overnight. So 4,000 miracles. There was enough for everyone's need. They all had enough, none had too much. They all had enough. And on this Friday, had enough for Saturday as well. Now, God provided that manna to save the people. That was a vital part of his plan of salvation, to preserve the Jewish race so that the Messiah, the Saviour, Jesus, would eventually come to us through those people. So God had to preserve them. There was no chance whatever they would die there in the wilderness. God would bring them through to the promised land. They just didn't believe it. Now, Moses couldn't solve the problem himself. He must have been rather perplexed. What do they expect me to do about it? I'm only a human being. But God had a plan. And so he sent that miraculous provision, the manna. For 40 years, it continued till they reached the promised land. Now, in the New Testament reading about the feeding of the 5,000, again we find people were famished. Imagine these people had become so engrossed with following Jesus, they'd lost track of time. They hadn't brought anything to eat with them except that one boy. And then they suddenly realised they were absolutely starving and they were much too far away from anywhere to buy anything. So what were they going to do? The disciples realised this too. And Jesus said, you know, what are you going to do about it? And they said, well, we can't do anything about it. All these people, if we had many months' wages, we wouldn't be able to afford to do anything about it. If there was a shop nearby, we wouldn't be able to afford it anyway. So what could they do? Humanly speaking, an impossible situation. They were too far from home to go back home to get food. So what would happen to them? So Andrew's words in verse 9 there, chapter 6. Here's a boy with five barley loaves, two small fish. What are they among so many? How far can they go? I hardly thought it's worth mentioning, really, that this lad here with five loaves, two fish was really worth mentioning. Well, it was worth mentioning, of course. And Jesus was able to take that boy's lunch and distribute it, and it multiplied to feed all those people. An impossible situation, humanly speaking, but Jesus transformed it. Not only was there enough, there were 12 basketfuls left over as well. More than enough. Now, God's grace is like the man, isn't it? Like the loaves and fish. There's more than enough for everyone. In John's epistle, 1 John 1, chapter 2 and verse 2, we read there, "He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. God's salvation is for the whosoever, enough for the whole world, just as the manna was enough and more than enough for everyone who needed it." Charles Wesley wrote these words, "It streams the whole creation reach, so plenteous is the store, enough for all, enough for each, enough forevermore." Or in the words of a children's chorus, "Wide, wide is the ocean, high as the heavens above, deep, deep is the deepest sea, is my Saviour's love. More than enough for everyone, more than enough for those who want to need it." Now the Israelites were powerless to help themselves, weren't they? Moses was powerless to help them too. It needed a miracle from God to feed that starving multitude. Hungry crowd following Jesus also were powerless to help themselves. The disciples couldn't help them either. The boys' loaves and fishes only solved the problem because Jesus performed the miracle and multiplied them. Without Jesus, without God in both stories, it was hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. Now in our natural state, we're like the children of Israel. We're like that crowd with Jesus. Powerless to help ourselves. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, Paul put it like this. He wrote, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. For we were powerless, helpless, Jesus died for us. We can't save ourselves. Were it not for God's grace shown to us in Jesus, we'd be lost. We'd have no hope at all. But God's grace is enough to cover all our sin. It's like the manna. Enough for each day." Children of Israel didn't have to store it up, except on the day before the Sabbath. There was just enough for each person for every day. And so it is with God's grace. We should be content. He gives us grace for every day. Not to worry about tomorrow's grace. To trust him, you'll do the same tomorrow too. In John's Gospel chapter 1, there's something about the abundance of God's grace. In verse 16 of John 1. "From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another." Or some translations put it, "We've received grace in place of grace already given." In other words, it's just not one lot of grace we get. It's grace for every day. There's more grace in place of yesterday's grace. There'll be more grace tomorrow. So we should be content to receive the grace we need today. Believe God can give us grace for tomorrow too. Some words that Annie Flint wrote. "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. To added afflictions, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." God's grace is more than sufficient. Back to John's Gospel again. Chapter 6, verses 47 to 51. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. People ate manna for 40 years, but they died. People who ate the loaves and fishes died too. But Jesus' living bread gives eternal life, and those who eat of him will never die. And we believe that it's because Jesus died for us on the cross and rose from the dead. His resurrection guarantees us eternal life. What about the starving multitudes in the world today, the spiritually starving multitudes all around us? The coronavirus seems to have awakened many people to their spiritual needs. I understand that a quarter of the population have watched stream services who don't normally go to church. And that's wonderful, isn't it? That Bible sales have gone up by 30% apparently during this 5 months. People have formed prayer lines more than ever before. So it does seem that this crisis has stimulated people to think about their mortality and their spiritual needs. We pray God will help that seeking to go on so that some of these people actually come into our churches when this is over and will then hear about the bread of life and find their spiritual needs being met. Because only Jesus can meet those needs, of course. So despite what has happened, we thank God that he's able to use this kind of situation to make people think about what life is really all about. Many years ago, there was a missionary working on a train in India. He was giving out Gospels of John. And one person angrily tore up the Gospel of John in small bits through the train window. Not long afterwards, a group of railway workers came along repairing the track, and one of them picked up a bit of paper, a little bit, it said on there, the bread of life. Just those words, bread of life. And he said to one of his friends, what's this all about? And they said, well, that's from the Christian book. Don't have anything to do with that. That would defile you. But he was intrigued. So he went and bought a New Testament, and through those three words, bread of life, became a Christian and a preacher. So one man threw away that gospel, tore it up. Those three words, bread of life, brought that man to the Lord. Hungry soul. So let's pray that all those people who've been stimulated to watch services online and so on will become aware of that God-shaped space in their hearts. They may look to the Son of God, to Jesus, the bread of life, who alone can satisfy that spiritual hunger in their hearts. The challenge for us is, how can we share the bread of life with people like that? How can we make them aware that they need that living bread that will feed them for all eternity? The one who died and rose again for them. May our prayer be that many will come to realize their need of the bread of life and discover him who alone can meet that need. Amen. Another hymn that I asked to play over the sound system is number 261 in Mission Praise. 261. Very appropriate. I think actually it's just three of these verses in the book. So I think it's the first three we hear. So let's listen to that, please, and follow this through. I am the bread of life. Words based, of course, on that gospel reading.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for that wonderful promise. You will raise us up on the last day through him who is the bread of life. And we pray, Lord, that many people these days will seek that bread of life. And like that man in India who found that scrap of paper, many will discover Jesus as the bread of life, the one who meets their deepest needs, including the need to have sins forgiven, the biggest need of all. Lord, help us in any way that we can to be able to share that bread of life with others, to help them to see that you love them and sent your son to die for them. Lord, we thank you. Go with us now, Lord, as we go to our homes. Keep us in your care, we pray, and those we love. Your blessing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go with us this night and forevermore. Amen.